you so much. Thank you, choir. I appreciate you being here this morning. We're looking forward to a wonderful time together. Hope you had a great week this week, and asking God to help us, so many folks that we need to be praying with and praying for, and we're asking God to comfort and help them in this season that they're in. We begin each week, and I open the service with prayer, and this isn't something just to fill a time slot, but I want you to pray right where you're at and ask the Lord to speak to your heart. I've heard people pray, we need to invite the Lord to help us. Well, if you know him, you didn't have to invite him. He's already here. He's already in you. And we're asking him to unite our hearts together and to help us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, we look back through the week you brought us through. And Lord, this morning, we desire that your word would help our mind and help our heart. Lord, that one that's discouraged, Lord, that one that needs an extra measure of your grace and comfort, even this morning, would you help them? Lord, as we sing these hymns, as we're reminded of these biblical truths, that you can guide us, you can help us, Lord, that we should have a greater zeal to live for you. Help us in this service. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand to your feet, please, and take a hymnal there in front of you. Let's do our very best to hymn 390, My Hope Is Built. As Brother Mike comes along, let's do our very best to sing this morning.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand too. When darkness fades, high and stormy gale, my anchor holds me. grace, folks. If you're saved this morning, you have grace to go through everything. We face trials, we face temptations. But this grace, it's new grace. If you're saved and you know Him as your Savior this morning. If you're not, what a wonderful day to give your heart and life to Christ. Let's sing that last verse, folks. Here we go.
Choir, if you'll stand one more time this morning, take a hymnal there in the back of the pew, hymn number 329, Standing on the Promises. Let's do our very best here this morning.
All right, here we go. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, on the last, standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing, promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to see so many of you here and several returning visitors and guests. If this is your first Sunday here, I'd love for you to take a card there in the back of the pew and fill that out. We'll get that to you as have a gift for you there in the lobby, and I'd love to have a record of your visit if you'll fill out that visitor's card. I hope you got a bulletin on the way in and several things I want to discuss. I don't want to belabor the announcements, but there are a lot of things going on here at our church. We have a beautiful card sent from Gene and Wade, and thanking the church family for the prayers and all that has been done on behalf of them, as Brother Wade just came through this surgery over the last several weeks, and trusting God to continue to help Brother Wade here in the days to come. I hope you got a bulletin on the way in, and let's look at that together. We have two outreach days here in the month of April. On Saturday, we meet at 10 a.m. and go out in our community, knock doors, and reach out into the community, let them know about the Tabernacle Baptist Church, and more importantly, we tell them of the work of Jesus Christ. And you can't make it to those days, we have a gospel tract or some literature there in the lobby. We'd love for you to pick those literature up and have it with you throughout the week and be looking for opportunities. We had a tremendous Sunday school class this morning, and really that was what the lesson was about, is Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch and being mindful of the souls of others. But let's do our very best. Here we have a senior lunch coming up April the 18th. At the La Coretta over here in town. And if you have any questions about that senior lunch, if you'll see Miss Susie. A couple things I want us to work on together is at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, we have Brother Matt Franklin. He's my friend. He works at the Faith Baptist Tabernacle over in Jamestown, Tennessee, and he's going to preach all day with us on that Sunday, and it's going to kick off our revival services. And we're calling that day Friend Sunday or Friend Day. And in the lobby, we have these cards prepared for you to hand out, invite a coworker. Even this week, I was encouraged. Brother Robbie Davenport gave a testimony. He had went to a doctor's appointment, and he looked up in the lobby of the doctor's appointment, and there was a church track and some things about the Tabernacle Baptist Church up there in the lobby of that doctor's office. And so we have a privilege and opportunity to be a witness. Pick these cards up and use it. And then the other thing I'd like to bring to your attention is I'd like you to pick up one of these envelopes. We have several in the back, and then we have several in the side vestibule. And I would like you to write a card or a note to the men that are coming to preach. And go ahead and let them know that you're praying for them. Maybe your Sunday school class could write one together. Let these men know that we're supporting this meeting. We're going to be praying for them, that God would work in their heart long before they arrive. We've already put a postage stamp on the envelope. It's just a card, some stationery the church has made. But we're doing that. You say, Pastor, why do you want to do that? Here's what I know. If we pray and prepare our hearts, it really won't matter what they preach. If it's Old Testament, New Testament, Bible character, God will use the scriptures to speak to our mind and to our heart. If the men will come forward, we'll take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. And I say each week here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we give to the Lord, we give through the church, and we give for the furtherance of the gospel. And we're praying as we labor together, as we serve him together, as he increases our heart, our burden for souls, that our inner man would be so helped. And that's the way we're praying here in these days. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our giving this morning. Brother Joel, do you care to pray and bless the offering, please, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again, Lord, to come to your house to worship and give you this time, Lord, and this fellowship with you. Pray, Lord, you'll be here in the service now. Speak to us through your spirit and your word. Bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver. Now we ask you to use it for your glory and honor. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Amen. So much, Miss Kim. If you have a pen, I want to give you several prayer requests. We're going to pause just for a moment and have a word of prayer. And folks in our congregation, folks we're praying with and praying for, continue to pray for Larry Spivey. This is Rhonda's father and had, I think, his third procedure on his knee on yesterday. Continue to pray for him. And Charles and Patsy Darnell, this is Phyllis Light's twin sister, brother-in-law. And they had a grandson yesterday morning take his life and commit suicide. And that's a hurtful thing, a hard thing for parents and grandparents. Let's be praying for them. Wilma Gardner's in the ICU. She needs a pacemaker. She'll have that taken care of on tomorrow. One of our homebound ladies. Bailey Adams has a double ear infection. And Ron Moss had to be taken to the hospital this morning. Early this morning, his oxygen level is very low. And Miss Joan has pneumonia. And then Brandon and Grace are here, and Brandon's father is on hospice care. His name is Alonzo Sexton. And so I want to pause and pray, and then Brother Mike, when I'm done praying, we'll sing that next chorus. Let's pray for these and be mindful of others this morning. God, we thank you for our church. God, I thank you for these that you allow us to influence and allow us to minister to and minister with. And God, we pray for these that have lost loved ones. We pray for these that are in difficult days, even those of unspoken nature, God, that you would comfort. Lord, we do pray for Alonzo this morning, be with the hospice care and the family in these last days of his, God, that you would give him great grace and comfort. Lord, we pray for others. We think of Ron and Joan and their health, that you would give them a measure of health there. God, we think of Rhonda's father, Lord, this knee surgery, the infection, and so many others. God, use us this week to minister for you to others. And we'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. Brother Mike, if you'll lead us in that chorus.
Let's sing that little chorus. Christ is all I need, and he is. Christ is all I need. Again, Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to continue our study or these thoughts through the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus is preaching and teaching to his disciples here. We'll look at the text here, Matthew chapter 5, in just a moment. And Kate and Patty are going to come along and share in song. I want to say thank you to all those who attended the teacher's workshop yesterday. Yesterday morning, there was a Sunday school teacher's workshop over in Bristol at the New Grace Baptist Church, and we had about 15 of our folks over there kind of sharpening their iron, so to speak, on teaching and reaching and having a heart for others. I want to say thank you so much to Brother Rob Fleming, kind of drove the van, headed all that up, but I appreciate every person that took that time to better themselves in the craft of studying God's Word together and instructing boys and girls and men and women to see the gospel move forward.
Every morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need. You know he's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him for all he's done. I'll try to live my life to please him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. There are many could praise God for. And if I started now until I died, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank him for his son. Now that's enough to praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him for all he's done. I'll try to live my life to please him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all.
Blessing. What a blessing. Matthew chapter 5. Appreciate that, Kate and Patty. And Patty's folks are in town, Jack and Chris, and I'm going to do my best not to tell any mother-in-law jokes all morning. And we've had a wonderful visit with them, and they had some extended family and had some special time over these last several days. I'm grateful they could be with us today. Looking forward to that. Matthew 5, we began 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, on studying or working through the Sermon on the Mount together. And the last time we met, we covered what many folks call the Beatitudes, and we talked about Jesus is preaching to his disciples, teaching his disciples, and we said that he was giving them this upside-down view of living for Christ, or this upside-down view of serving him. At the end of the section we covered the last time, he tells them of persecution. He tells them of hard days. He tells them of difficulty. And he really, on the very first part of the Sermon on the Mount, he wanted those followers of his to nail down their priorities. So in your mind, the first section we covered, think of the word priorities. This morning, we're going to cover a simple text, a familiar passage, and we're going to think of this one word, influence. Influence. He goes from priorities to influence. In the audience, Jesus is preaching here on the Sermon on the Mount. As you begin the text, it says that Jesus is sat down, a picture of a rabbi, a picture of his pupils teaching. And in that audience are the disciples, in that audience are the Pharisees, in that audience are the Sadducees and skeptics and others that would have a desire to follow Christ. He's beginning what we call his earthly ministry, and as he is teaching, he is exposing the fallacies of the religion of the day. The religion of the day was more about conduct than it was about character. The religion of the day was more about what it looked like than it was about having a genuine, abiding presence of Jesus Christ. I want to read the text and we'll make a few comments. Matthew 1, and I'll start at verse 1. We'll read up. It's all one section. I don't want to, it's almost hard to kind of break it off in different points, but I want to try to bring us up to where we are here in the text. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12, "Rejoice." Hey, men, you have some hard days ahead. Hey, you will face persecution. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Verse 13, this is our text this morning. We're going to study together verses 13 through 16. "Ye are the salt of the earth." Ye are. It doesn't say you'll become the salt of the earth. He says you are the salt of the earth. "But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." A salt that has lost its savor, trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." He opens this portion of the Sermon on the Mount with these directives. He's telling them, you are light, you are salt. "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, but it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 17, and we'll get to this portion next week. The Lord gives them a revelation. And in verse 18, the Lord gives them a purpose statement. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Salt deals with moral, things of morality. Light deals with the spiritual. Salt will reveal character. Light reveals conduct. Salt deals with what a person is. Light does or deals with what a person does. And Jesus, as he is teaching and as he is preaching to these disciples, he opens the text and he gives them a warning about persecution. And then the very next thing he talks to them about is how they behave. We come to a place in our life where we have forgotten how to behave. My parents at 44 years old don't lay me over their lap and whoop my bottom any longer. My mom's arthritic knees and my dad's bad back, they can't do it. They probably still want to, but they can't do it. Have we not forgotten in American Christianity how to behave? How to be salt and how to be light? We want to be critical. We want to be judgmental. We want to give our opinion. But when Jesus deals with the disciples, he said, you are salt. Salt does not stop, or salt cannot change corruption, but salt can prevent corruption. We are living salt and light, salt and light, salt and light. We are living in a very corrupt and dark society. And Jesus gives the disciples a warning or an admonition that we need today. That we need to be salt, or we are salt, and we are light. It deals with testimony. It deals with influence. It deals with conduct. We who are the salt of the earth and we who are the light, we are living in a world of decay and darkness, and we should reveal what God has done. The first thing here in 13, it talks about salt resist decay. Salt can't change corruption into incorruption, but it does prevent corruption from spreading. No doubt, as Jesus uses this metaphor, those in the audience would understand exactly what Jesus was talking about, being a preservative thing, salt being a preservative thing. It said even in this era, the Roman soldiers were paid many times in salt. The value of salt, or all the multi-purposes of salt. They would understand in this day that they didn't have refrigeration and that they would have to salt the meat. Have you ever heard someone say this, and they don't say it much anymore, they are not worth their salt? Where does that come from? It talks about the value that was in this commodity of salt. As I was reading this week, it was said that that they would torture people by taking away salt, and they would slowly die. You that are older than I, we won't call you old, but you're older than I. Jack played football there in Knoxville at Farragut High School. When you had two-a-days, what did they give you years ago? A salt tablet. That salt tablet was to help you preserve. That salt tablet was so the school didn't get sued when you died up there on the football field. That salt tablet was there to sustain you when you were depleted. Salt can't change corruption to incorruption. Salt is used to hold decay at bay. When God pours His grace into our lives, a regenerated person is placed into the world to be a blessing to all mankind. This idea of salt losing its savor is what the text says. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor. It talks about being contaminated. It's not talking about losing your salvation, but it is talking about losing your testimony or losing your influence. Salt is very pungent. I'm driving this whole thing somewhere. If y'all stay with me, we've got 13 points to get to, so you have to listen very good. You ever made ice cream, homemade ice cream? That old thing, you're cranking it out there. You got the ice there, and you take what that rock salt, put it down in there and crank it some more, and put it down in there and crank it some more. Have you ever had it where that salty water got into the ice cream? Then you take a big bite of that, man. It's supposed to be peach. It's supposed to be delicious. And you're, what is that? The pungency of salt. It's not about losing salvation, but it is about losing influence. Kind of a play on words. We should be salty, not in the way you think salty. We should be salty to the world around us. We should be salting our corner that God has given us. Think about it. Jesus is seated. The disciples are there. Jesus is seated. The disciples are there. And while he's teaching, he is telling them, you are salt. There's just a small handful of people there. How are they in a small handful of people supposed to prevent decay in a large place? You ever notice salt is made up of small grains? You ever notice that he was instructing those followers, he was instructing his disciples, he was instructing them that you have a job to do. You have a job to do to prevent decay. And you have a job to do, and you have a job to do, and you have a job to do. Here's the truth. If all of us are salt, all of us here are salt. You individually, we are salt. Are you with me? Some of your eyes look sleepy. You stayed up and watched that terrible basketball game. If we are all salt, should we not have an impact on the community that we are in? There should be a lack of decay in Sullivan County because there's a handful of salty Christians that are being salty at work and they're being a witness for him. Here's the truth. The church tomorrow is going to go to South Carolina. The church tomorrow is going to go to a classroom. The church tomorrow is going to go to Pops and eat breakfast. You're retired, okay? The church tomorrow should be influencing or salty or shining their light where the Lord has given them. One of the statements I read, and it so convicted me, it said the world needs purification, or the world needs us to be the Christians we need to be so they do not decay. And in the society and in the day which we live, the church needs purified. The church has lost its savor. The church has laid down on the job of being salt and being light. Notice the simplicity. Notice the simplicity of Jesus' teaching. He said, you are the salt. You should be influencing people. We should be salting the corner in which we are. What do people think of Jesus when they see you? Now, I realize we've got to deal with motive. And you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. We're not here to be seen of men. Jesus addresses that later in the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus says, human society without my influence is rotting away. And we need you disciples to be salt, to prolong or to prevent decay. You ever been out to a smokehouse and they have ham out there? I know you're getting hungry. They have ham out there and they've got to salt that ham. Do you know you can't salt that ham? Say if Larry is salt, I'm salt and Larry's the ham. Do you realize we may not even get past the introduction here this morning? If Larry is the ham and I am salt, how does the salt influence the ham? You've got to rub it in. You have to influence. Yep. You have to penetrate.
Amen.
You have to touch other people's lives for your salty life to help them. And we as his children, me as the pastor, have allowed people around me to rot away because my salt has lost its savor. Verse 13. When the salt was bad, it was contaminated. They had had this salt and they would taste that salt and it would be contaminated. It said it was to be trodden under the foot of men. They would basically take that salt, it was of no value, and they would throw it on the road. And what that salt did, or they would throw it on their rooftop, it would harden. It would almost as if concrete, and as they ground that bad salt into the path, into the road, it would almost act as a binding agent, and it was good for nothing. It's no longer preventing decay if it's under someone's foot. It's no longer serving its purpose. It's no longer useful if it's under someone's foot to be cast. Do you realize most of us has lost our saltiness and we no longer are influencing other people? James isn't here to help me preach. Thank you, Harold. We're no longer influencing the salt. Christians who are pure in heart do not become tasteless and ineffective and useless in the kingdom of God. The salt. Verses 14 through 16, we've dealt with salt. Now let's talk about light. Light or removing darkness. We are to function as light. If salt deals with the moral, light deals with the spiritual. Jesus says this in John 9, 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus says this, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. These two statements mean that we are to be like him. We are to make people aware of their relation to the created order around them. And the Lord uses a lamp and a city. The city illustrates our impact on something as a whole, and the lamp shows it's a smaller thing. It influences the circle in which we are in. How often have I attempted to let my light shine for you to let my light shine for Sullivan County, to let my light shine anywhere but my own home. My lamp. And the lamp indicates an individual testimony. A city lit up by individuals or candles shining. It speaks of a Christian home, or it indicates a testimony. Candles are not lit to be looked at. Candles are lit so something else can be seen. Jesus teaching the disciples. He talks to them about salt, and he talks to them about light. He talks to them about influence. This one word, influence. And here's what he's saying, that you and I as his followers, you and I as his children, you and I that know him, we should have our lights burning brightly, not so that we could be seen, but so that he could be seen. That the candle is lit so someone else can be seen. If the lamp is to do any good, it must be placed in an area where it can be seen. How often have we gotten too busy to let our light shine for him? I told this story in Sunday school class. I had a couple gospel tracts with me, and we'd had a long week, and I'd had some text messages to return, and we were at the cookout and getting a milkshake Friday night. It's 9 or 9:30. I had a gospel tract in my pocket, and we had ordered some things there at the cookout, and the Holy Spirit prompted me to hand that lady a tract. He prompted me again. I was so ignorant, I dropped the tract on the ground. To my shame, I was more interested in returning 7 text messages than I was handing a gospel tract to that lady. Did my light shine as your pastor at the Outback on Friday night? Or what's that place called, Kate? The cookout. The truth is, no. How often did you have an opportunity this week to allow salt? You are salt. You're not becoming salt. You are salt. How often this week did you have an opportunity to shine the light for him? We didn't. Jesus concludes this thought here, salt and light. This thought about letting your light shine, verse 16, before men. No one exemplified that better than who? The teacher, Jesus himself. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world needs salt because it's corrupt. And the world needs light because it's dark. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This week in my reading, it talked about a lighthouse. It talked about the importance of a lighthouse. And the lighthouse keeper had one job. That job simply was to feed it or to tend it. The lighthouse keeper wasn't worried about the waves. The lighthouse keeper wasn't worried about the tempestuous sea. The lighthouse keeper wasn't worried about the boats or the sailors that were out there. The lighthouse keeper had one job, and that was to keep the light burning brightly. You and I, as his children, have one job, to keep the light burning brightly. Commune and fellowship with him, walking with him, abiding with him. Salt and light. Our salt has lost its savor, and our light has grown dim. Matthew 13, I'll hustle through these and make an application. Salt has always been known as a preservative. You and I, as his children, are a preservative in a society that tends towards rottenness and decay. If you study history, civilizations of society, many civilizations have decayed within, rotted. Things of morality, things of character, things of honesty. We remind ourselves that salt gives flavor to everything it touches. We reflect him. We have an influence in the world around us. How many of us in our Christian efforts are nothing more than going through the motions? There were days where we were thrilled to come worship God. There were days where we were thrilled to attend a revival meeting. There were days where our heart yearned for the preaching of God's word, and people would sing robustly or loudly, and they were energetic in the worship. Now we come to church. Pastor's got 13 more minutes. I got to get to Fazoli's. We've lost our savor. There's a difference. There's a difference between Christian talk and real Christianity. Salt makes its presence known. Do your coworkers know that you're a Christian? Do you speak up for Christ? When a person ceases to be the person he claims to be, then he or she, is what the text says, is good for nothing. 107, Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You cannot hide the effects of salt. You are influence. You are the salt of the earth. My days where we would landscape in the winter, we would have to salt driveways. We'd have to salt parking lots. We'd have to salt places. And every spring, those same customers would call us back and say, I just don't know why my grass is yellow around my sidewalk. And I could always tell them why your grass is yellow around your sidewalk. Because whoever I sent out there to throw that salt got a little rambunctious and threw it all over your driveway and yard and shrubberies. You can't hide the effects of salt. You look at salt through a microscope and you'll see that it's not a mass of something, but it's made up of small individual grains. Tabernacle Baptist Church is made up of Christians, small individual grains, and all of them are salting your area. Some of you this week will salt over in Arcadia. And some of you this week will salt here in Kingsport, Tennessee. Some of you this week will salt over in Hawkins County down Mount Carmel. But you, as we gather together, as we go out, we have a responsibility to influence others for Jesus Christ. One may preach, one may sing, one may give, one may serve, but they all come together for his glory, for his name. Let us note that the Lord did not say, you are the sugar of the earth. How many have ever got a cut and got salt in it? That's the sound you make when you get salt in there. What happens? It hurts. It burns. It's abrasive. It stings. When God's children are among those who are wrong towards God, their presence stings and hurts. Salt. The next thought we'll look at is light, and you see it in the text in verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light reveals. Light reveals. If it were dark, you could not see the beauty of a flower. You could not tell the difference between a flower and a weed. When the sun comes up in the morning and the light is shining, it will reveal what we really are. A cute story I read this week. A nanny had put a child to sleep. A caregiver had put a child to sleep. He was looking out the window and she'd went back into the nursery to check on the child. And she said, "Why aren't you asleep? What are you doing? What are you staring out at that window?" That little boy had grown so fascinated with a lamp lighter. A man was going down the street and he was lighting lamps one after the other, after the other, after the other. And that lady said, "Why are you looking out that window? What are you looking at?" And that boy had the most profound reply. "I am watching a man make holes in the dark." We that know him should be making holes in the dark. Remind ourselves that light, how we believe, how many believers have his light and are not living by it. Verse 15 of the text, "And I must hustle." A light is to be seen. A light or a candle that burns brightly is a light, as a candle that is upright in thought and action. It's illuminating. It's a witness. Light cannot be soiled. If we were to have worked and my hands were filthy and the light beam were to come through that window and I were trying to grab that light beam with my hands, do you realize that that light beam would not be soiled by the dirt on my hands? Light can't be soiled. It can be seen. Light will reveal the way. Light is a guide. Our greatest light is the life we live rather than the words we speak. Jesus did not say that you are to bring the light. He said you are the light. My words and my actions, they represent him. I like this thought about light. Light makes shadows. The fact that there are shadows are evidence of the existence of light. God is light, and our choice is whether to hide it or to let it shine. My reading this week, I came across this, and I want to read it to you. It says this, "Who turned out the light?" Maybe we've been quiet when we should speak up, take a stand for the Lord. Maybe we find ourselves going along with the crowd. Maybe we find ourselves denying truth. Maybe we find ourselves letting sin dim our witness, our light. Maybe we find ourselves not explaining truth to others. Maybe we find ourselves ignoring the needs of others. Another thing here about light, and I'll conclude with this thought, is this. In order for light to be seen, that candle must be consumed. The wax is going down more and more and more and more. Candle cannot give out light without at the same time giving of itself. The truth is, Jesus explained priorities, and now he talks about influence. And this section of the Sermon on the Mount, he has explained to his followers that this part of being a light is a very costly process. And you and I, to be salt and light, we must willingly be consumed. In the crowd, the Pharisees are there. In the crowd, the Pharisees were more concerned about conduct than they were character. A statement I read, it said, "I can't hear what you're saying because I'm watching what you're doing." What you do speaks a lot louder than what you say. How we live speaks so loudly. I'll finish with this example, and y'all can go ahead and get ready for the invitation. I promise, or I'm going to be done. This week in my reading, this salt and light, and salt and light, and honestly, as I was preparing, it's so elementary. But the truth is, we all need this application in our own heart. I read this illustration. It talked about these three beams of light took the day off. Here they are in these three beams of light, and they decided that they did not want to work that day, and these three beams of light took the day off. And the first beam of light, a young man was going to the jewelry store to buy his fiance, to buy his girlfriend a beautiful diamond ring. And he stepped to the door of the jewelry store and he held up that diamond, but because that ray of light took the day off, he could not see the blemish in the ring. That ray of light felt like, well, I'm not very important, and there's lots of other rays of light, and I'm just going to lay down on, I'm just going to take the day off. That young man purchased a diamond ring with a flaw in it. The next little cute story, this other ray of light decided it would take the day off, and a surgeon was trying to perform a critical surgery. He could not see very well. It was a rustic setting, and here he is trying to perform, but that ray of light took the day off, and that surgeon took a misstep, and that child died on the operating table. How often have you and I felt like, my ray of light's not that important? There's 90 other rays of light in here, and those 90 other rays of light, they can do the job, and I don't need to take care of that. The last cute little story, trying to rehearse the value of our light, it spoke of two pilots in a war. The fog was very great, and they are trying to come back from a mission, and they could not see to land that plane. That light felt like, I'm just going to take the day off. It's not hurting anybody. It's not that big a deal. That ray of light took the day off, and that pilot crashed the plane. You think about, oh, Pastor, those are just cute little stories. No, the truth is, there's an application for all of us. Have we not grown complacent? Have we that are to be salt, are we allowing decay all around us? We should be a witness for Christ. Are we who should be light, not letting our light shine brightly? Sing this little song as children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Here's the truth. We got awfully comfortable with this right here, because this right here takes a little effort on our part. Christian, do you find yourself in the text this morning? And maybe you're here this morning, and as I preach the Word of God, you have some questions about your soul salvation. I realize this is a large audience, and this message was mainly geared toward conduct and the behavior of believers. I realize that. But on this Sunday morning, I don't want to let the moment pass without you understanding that Jesus loves you. That he came to this earth of a Virgin Mary, that he lived a sinless life, that he taught these disciples to influence others. And the reason he taught the disciples is because he knew that he would go away to Calvary's cross. While he hung on that cross, he paid for my sin and for your sin. We celebrated last Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. He came up from that grave alive forevermore. I realize you may have some questions about the eternality of your soul. Where would you go if you were to die? In just a moment, we'll bow our heads, we'll pray, the instruments will play, and I want to ask if you have questions about your soul, that you would come see me. I'll stand right here in the front. And maybe believer, maybe child of God, you're honest enough to say, you know what, Pastor, I've kind of laid down on the job of letting my light shine. I quit making holes in the dark a long time ago. I need the Lord to renew my spirit. Father in heaven, the best we know how, we've preached and taught your word this morning. God, in this audience, if there's one that doesn't know you and Savior, one that doesn't understand salvation, would you bring them to the front this morning? Allow them to understand what it is to know Jesus Christ. Lord, for many believers here today, and God, would we be honest enough to ask you to renew our inner man and to help us to be the salt and light you've called us to be? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet for a song of invitation as Brother Mike begins to sing and Kim begins to play? Would you come this morning, child of God? Would you come?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
Folks are coming. Would you come?
Call me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting,
go ahead on the second verse, Brother Mike. Go ahead.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Thank you so much. You can look this way. I appreciate you being here today, and we're studying the Sermon on the Mount together. Tonight, we continue a series on relationship is greater than religion, and we'll actually kind of have the same train of thought. We'll go right into tonight, and we'll actually expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and unfortunately, we'll look at that we are very Pharisaical ourselves at times, and I'd encourage you to be back tonight at 6. And then Wednesday night, a study on the book of Esther. We've had a wonderful Bible study on the book of Esther. Thank you so much for being here today. And we're going to pray and be dismissed. But if you have questions about what Jesus Christ is doing in your heart, you're welcome to call, to come by, to see us anytime. And I want you to know for sure that heaven would be your eternal home. Brother Jack, will you dismiss us with prayer? My father-in-law Jack and Chris are in, and we've enjoyed a few days with them. And he'll give us a dismissal prayer. Thank you so much.
Go with them, bring them.